This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, now the week one in the NFL is in the books. Yeah, we've had a couple of great games. We've had a couple of games that made us think about teams in a different way. But remember, because it's a marathon, not a sprint, some of these things are obviously subject to change. If you're a Tennessee Titans fan, like where I live in Nashville, are you that high on the Tennessee season when they go to Cleveland and beat a Browns team that was really hyped up? Last night is another example of the Oakland Raiders taking down a Denver Broncos team that was in massive transition this entire offseason. Look, I love the way the Raiders responded to the entire Antonio Brown mess. That could have been an organization in complete disarray, unorganized, just completely lost in their own offense, not having one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the game. But instead, Derek Carr was literally perfect. I mean, just about perfect in his outing. And the Josh Jacobs, the rookie, ran for two touchdowns against the Denver defense that was supposed to be the strength of this unit. And instead, the Broncos have to figure out some play calling maneuvers and have to figure out how to get better offensively because they did not get a touchdown until late in the game. But Denver has an excuse here. And I don't like excuses, but Denver's entire organization was really in upheaval this entire offseason. Vic Fangio, despite 32 years in the league, this is his first year as a head coach. Rick Scangarello, their offensive coordinator, this is his first year in the NFL calling plays. He worked under Kyle Shanahan, but this is the first time he's ever had complete control of an offense, and you've got a new quarterback in Joe Flacco. Offensive line is being led by Mike Munchak, one of the brilliant minds in the game in terms of that department, but it's still a work in progress. They lose Juwan James early. It's a team that's in total flux. But if you're the Raiders, there's something to build on from that game. I don't know if it leads to a double-digit win season. I kind of doubt it in a very, very tough division. But I was impressed. I'll give Gruden its due. We take a lot of shots at the Raiders sometimes for the dumb things that they've done since Gruden came on board last season. But this one was impressive to see this team go through a whole training camp and a whole preseason wondering about the status of Antonio Brown and how he was going to fit in the offense, to come out and say, you know what, we're going to play as good as we can, and it was good enough for what I thought was a pretty dominating win despite what the final score may indicate. SB Nation Radio.
Kane is in the building.
Radio.
And on
this is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we roll along on a Tuesday morning. Did you hear the story about LSU and no air conditioning in the locker room at Texas?
Yeah.
By the way, that's really a funny story. That is really funny.
I'm hating the fact that Texas is coming out saying, that's not true.
No.
I want to hear that it is true.
I want to hear that it is true. That the Boston Celtics used to do this in the championships with the Lakers. Red Auerbach used to go, don't turn off the AC.
The other thing they need to do is just, hang an out-of-order sign on the drinking fountain.
Yeah, right.
Why not?
That's great. The temperature at kickoff was 95 degrees. LSU players had to leave the game due to cramping and other injuries, says the story.
Fantastic.
But I like the way Orgeron said, he goes, it was hot and humid, but he goes, it wasn't like Louisiana. That's true, right? I mean, no matter where you go, hot and humid, it's not like Louisiana.
Yeah, but Austin can get up there.
Yeah, Austin can get up there, but it ain't like Louisiana. But still, that's a good story.
I loved it.
That was a good story. I like that kind of, I laugh at those kind of stories. Everyone gets all kind of, they turned off the hot water. Yeah, of course they did. Right? This is what teams do. All right? You can be stink on the bus and go take a shower at the hotel before you get on the plane. All right? I don't know what to tell you. Take a cold shower. You young.
You get done with it. The heat wasn't working. Yeah, well, that's what happens sometimes in sports. What do you want? By the way, LSU has moved up to number 4 in the AP poll with that win over Texas. Legitimate now, a national championship contender, putting him in the conversation. I was looking up the Alabama-LSU rivalry, and LSU has not beaten Alabama since 2011 during the regular season. But that led to that year, it led to Alabama and LSU playing again for the national championship, in which Alabama won that game and has won every game ever since. And there's been really nice ranked LSU teams that have gone down to an Alabama team that's been ranked 1 or 2 leading up to the meeting. So I've always said, look, I've always figured Alabama will win the game. This LSU team is different. This LSU, with Joe Burrow, this is an offense I haven't seen the Tigers have in a long time to be able to go vertical like that. So, yeah, we'll see obviously how it plays out when they finally meet towards the end of the year. But, boy, that was a good game on Saturday. It was a good game. Two good quarterbacks.
I mean, that's what I was excited about last night between Saints and Texans, because that, you know, kind of capped a good football weekend.
Yeah, it really did. You're right.
I was, you know, and it really made up for how the football weekend started with Bears Packers.
That's right. So, yeah, because that game was not very good.
It was terrible.
Not very good at all. One baseball note I want to get to, and I won't do a lot of baseball given the nature of the football season. But, yeah, we'll get closer to the postseason. We'll do that. Dave Dombrowski of the Red Sox got fired. This was as quiet of a story in terms of all the news and notes that was going around that weekend, because it was done just a little bit after midnight on Sunday after the Red Sox had lost to the Yankees. And by the way, with last night's loss to the Yankees, the Red Sox cannot win the division at all. So, like, they've been officially eliminated from winning the division, a division they weren't going to win anyway, but it became official that they weren't going to win it. And that ends 3 straight years of them winning the AL East. Now, I needed this story to percolate a little bit, because my initial reaction was, what? The guy just won a World Series. But I needed some more information to come out. I needed to figure out exactly what was going on behind the scenes. Because we see this in sports sometimes, where someone who we think is successful, a coach or a GM or somebody, a manager in baseball, gets fired and let go. And it's not until you realize, oh no, the behind the scenes where we don't have access to, there was a lot of problems. And apparently there were a lot of problems with Dave Dombrowski and the Red Sox brass. That signing Chris Sale to a contract extension was not something ownership wanted to do. They did it anyway because he kept pushing and pushing. It ended up backfiring on him. He's got a lot of money loaded up in a lot of players. While he did win a championship in 2018, here is where Dave Dombrowski failed in terms of management eyes. He did not build a team that could be successful long-term like what the Astros are building. Because the Astros, because they were so bad, right, built up the farm system, kind of had this organizational thought process of we're going to have a team, we're going to struggle in terms of wins, we're going to build up prospects, we're going to trade players, we're going to build prospects up, and then we're going to start putting together a team that can win, and then we'll add on to that as we go. Dombrowski, because he's not a big analytics guy, had always the philosophy of if something is wrong, just fix it immediately, throw money at it and fix it immediately. Oh, you need bullpen help? Go get some bullpen guys at big money. Oh, you need help at third base? Go get the best free agent third baseman you can afford. Right? So he always did that at the expense of the Red Sox farm system, which wasn't very good. But it just goes to show you the thought process that teams have. They don't want to just win a World Series. Otherwise, Dave Dombrowski could have a job for life, right? With that baseball team last year, as dominant as they were, that should have bought you a number of years in any organization. But the Red Sox want a team that consistently can win all the time, right? So that we could just, a free agent comes in and then we just get rid of a big money guy, right? It doesn't matter. We are bringing guys up through the organization as well as going after the right free agents for the right money. And he wasn't doing that. The Yankees are starting to do that. The Astros are absolutely doing that. The Astros have written the book on it, right? That organization should be good for a long time. And that's what they want in Boston. And Dombrowski's not the right guy to do it. Because initially the Red Sox were dominating last year. I mean, just dominant. And I thought this is the team they wanted him to build. This was the team they wanted him to have. And they did. He did exactly what they wanted. Build a team to win us a championship. Okay, because he got the job in 2015. Build a team to win us a championship. Okay, I did that. but it was at a high cost, dollars that are going to be wasted, and also the fact the farm system is pretty bare with the Red Sox. So it's kind of a weird story given that his success. I mean, look, the people who know baseball think saying Dave Dombrowski is going to go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a fantastic president, right? Was Tigers, had the Marlins, now with the Red Sox, won championships, but he's not what the Red Sox are looking for. Because again, I can see teams in Major League Baseball being kind of envious of what the Astros have put together, right? I mean, you don't even have to go that far back with the Astros. That if you went back and said, yeah, one day you're not only going to win a World Series, but you're going to have Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke and Garrett Cole. Like, it's the idea of that would have been crazy. And not only they have all three, but because they have a system in place that allows that to happen.
Yep.
So,
and a homegrown offense,
right?
Been raking in points lately.
And young guys, right? I mean, yeah. They won 15-0 last night. They just won 21-1 on Sunday.
They're scoring more than NFL teams right now.
Yeah, so the Texans just barely beat
just
out.
Barely. They needed that last-minute drive.
Last-minute touchdown. Otherwise, they would have had less points than the Astros.
No, they would have tied them.
Tied them up. That's right.
Tied, which is like kissing your sister.
That's right. So, well done. Well done.
I know.
It looked good. It looked good for the tie for a while.
I can't remember who I was talking to. I think I was talking to Brian Barrett yesterday, who follows our show on the network. And he and I were trying to think of the last time a team finished in Cy Young voting the 1 and 2 slots.
That's a good question.
We were thinking.
You guys, do any research on that and find out?
No, we didn't. We didn't really. We just kind of were going back and forth. That maybe the Diamondbacks when they had Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, maybe one of those times.
Maybe that. Yes.
We're kind of leaning more towards the Braves.
Yeah, in the 90s in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, those three. But, I mean, it's kind of remarkable that
it really
you
is.
Know, one of them's going to lose to their teammate.
That really is. It really is remarkable. But, again, it goes to show you that how great that organization is, how they have found the right formula of young talent versus going out and getting the right free agents to mix it all together and create this team that should be winning for years and years and years, right? You might have an off year, one year with some injuries plague the team a little bit last year. Or whatever. Yeah, whatever. But – you know, listen, if Andrew Benintendi doesn't catch that ball, who knows where that series might have gone.
Right.
I still think Boston wins the series, but, But
last year, during the whole regular season, I think they lost home field advantage. Boston had home field advantage in that series. So,
yeah, the Red Sox had a great year.
But the Astros, I mean, they were dealing with injuries to three of their main players, three core players.
And I can see if you're in Boston, and I can see John Henry saying, look, we're not an organization where we just want to win a championship and everything else be damned, right? We're not that organization where throw everything at it to win this year. And if it burns down the building, fine, we at least got a trophy. That's not the way the Red Sox want to do it. I mean, they've crossed over, right? They would have done that at any point in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, right? At any point, they probably would have said, go build us a champion in any way possible. I don't care what you do, and I don't care what it leads to. We've got to get this monkey off our back and win a championship. But once you've won a couple, and there's an expectation that you should be one of the elite teams in Major League Baseball, you change your mindset, right? It isn't burn the house down, just win a title. I don't care what it costs. Overpay guys. Get rid of the farm system. Make sure we have enough bats in the lineup or arms in the bullpen. I don't care what you do. I don't care what it means for tomorrow. Win today. The Red Sox don't want to do that because looking at the Astros, and the Yankees are doing it too, so I don't want to throw them out. The Yankees are doing it too. The Dodgers, especially in the National League, the Dodgers are doing that. You look at them and say, wow, they're consistently going to be around for a while. They're going to be around for a while. They're not looking at large-term contracts. They're going to hamper the team. So all this money's guaranteed, right? All this money's guaranteed. They got to throw this huge amount of dollars to pitchers they don't want anymore in Boston. And that's not what's going on with these other organizations. They've been smart with their money and smart with their prospects. And Brian Cashman, for his credit, Brian Cashman had so many opportunities to take his talent and dump it and he wouldn't do it. He held on to young talent, just grabbed onto him and held onto him. Much as the Yankee fans were screaming, go get us a guy, go get us a guy. He's like, no, I'm not getting rid of these players. I'm not going to get rid of these players. And it's starting to pay off. So that's what they're doing in Boston. But that story came out after midnight, Monday morning, technically Sunday night. And it just, it was a bad look for the Red Sox, but now I kind of understand why they did it. So I'll throw that out there, but we're getting closer to the postseason, another Astros run at a championship. Get ready for another parade. I'm still buying them. The Yankees, I'm still not buying as a take it seven contender.
And just real quick, where do we put the Dodgers in this? Assuming the Dodgers make the World Series, which all likely they will, are they the Buffalo Bills?
Good question.
Because, I mean, if they make the World Series again, third year in a row, and if they were to lose it again, third year in a row, do we start putting them in the realm of the Buffalo Bills?
Well, they have championships, but they haven't had one since 88.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a whole generation ago. So you could see a young group going, yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't around in 88, so give me my title.
Hey, you know, most of these players weren't.
Yeah. I'm so sad. You know, I know. It's 31 years ago, so give me a break, all right? Old man who remembers everything. Yeah, no. I need my championship now. So you may not think we're the Bills, but I think we're the Bills because I haven't seen this happen yet. Yeah, good point. Good point. So, all right, coming up, more from the NFL in week 2. Looking ahead to week 2 and some of the key games there as we continue along. We got the good and the bad and dumb coming up later. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. Make sure you spell it with 2 N's. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Prepare for road trips. Before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So for all of you going out this weekend to see your favorite college football team on the road, maybe like if you're an Alabama fan and you're going to South Carolina to beat up on the Gamecocks this weekend, make sure you go to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or if you're an NFL fan, like if you are a Buccaneers fan and you're going Thursday night to Charlotte to see them play the Carolina Panthers and praying to the football gods that Jameis Winston doesn't throw 3 more interceptions in that game. The Thursday night affair, Tampa Bay at Carolina. I wanted Tampa Bay to be decent, but I don't know if they're going to be decent this year. Carolina, I think, is going to be decent, despite their opening day loss to the Rams. Yeah, I just don't think Tampa Bay is.
They got plenty of time to figure things out.
They're
going to
be very competitive in that division. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be. They're probably going to be in the basement again.
No.
And
it's a little precursor for top 5, bottom 5?
Yeah, pretty much. I think so.
Maybe.
I think so. Jacoby Brissett and the Colts come to Tennessee for the Titans home opener.
Woo-hoo.
It's going to be weird. Think about the Titans. They have spent their entire existence in the National Football League in a division where it has been mostly Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck coming to play them every year, except the one year that was off, and maybe when Luck was hurt in one of the few times they played him. But for the most of the existence of them being in Nashville, they have either faced Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck as the quarterback whenever the Colts came to town. And now it's Jacoby Brissett as the starter. Like I said, except the one year the Colts didn't have either one of them. So now it's Jacoby Brissett. New England at Miami. If you're the Dolphins, do you just say, you know, let's give up a record 72 points. Let's see if we can do that.
I think you should.
Let's make the point very, very clear what we're doing here. Since it's obviously what we're doing and every single player on our football team. I was thinking about what you said yesterday. I'm glad I talked about it. Because how many Dolphin players went afterwards when they got home and they talked to their agents and then they spoke to their wives or whatever. Some of them said, you know, it's been a nice run in the National Football League. You should retire. You should retire at halftime of the game against the Patriots just to make the point.
I think it might be tough to do against the Patriots because the Patriots are expected to roll stomp.
Right, but if you're a guy that's on the tail end of your career and you're thinking about retiring anyway, but you're just in it for some last cash grab, but that game against Baltimore made you go, look, this organization stinks, and I'm not going to go out there and risk my knees for this terrible franchise that wants to lose, but I don't want to retire on Wednesday. I'm going to retire at halftime to make my point. Yeah, and I want to get a couple of other guys to do it. And we're going to make a point. We're going to make our point that this organization deserves to be looked at.
Because I'm going to tell you this right now. You can almost put the guarantee on it. The Dolphins will be 0-5 to start the season.
Okay, so give me their schedule.
They got the Patriots next up Sunday, then Cowboys, at Cowboys. Then they host the Chargers. Then they host the Redskins, and then they go to the Bills.
Okay.
So I'm giving them a chance against the Bills. Maybe a chance of hosting against the Redskins.
Right.
But not really.
So definitely 0-4. Definitely 0-4. They got also, I'm looking at their schedule now, they got at Steelers.
Yeah.
Now the Browns might be better by their November matchup.
They'll be fine.
Right? And then they got the Patriots, obviously, again, to close out the season in New England where it's going to be bitter cold. And now definitely retire before that game if you have any thoughts about retiring Miami.
I mean, God, look at this. And their bye week is the fifth week of the year.
Oh,
they got like the first bye week of the year.
Unreal.
So they opened the season. I mean, they just got destroyed by the Ravens. Then they go Patriots, Cowboys, Chargers, and then a bye week. They'll be in so much need of that bye week, it's ridiculous.
Okay, what if... Do you remember the movie Major League where the owner was trying to tank so she could move the baseball team?
Yeah.
What
are you assuming that because she wanted to move it to Miami?
That's right.
Are you assuming that the owner of the Dolphins wants to move his team to Cleveland?
What if the Dolphin players, like the players in Major League, went, let's rally. But don't take a piece of clothing off a big mannequin of Stephen Ross. Don't do that. But just go, nope, you know what? Screw it. We'll call our own plays. We'll audible. We'll do everything we have to do. We're going to win these games. We're going to win enough games so that they don't get the number one overall pick. Screw them for putting us in this awful position to be used as pawns in their lousy rebuilding game, sacrificing our minds and bodies so that they can continue to rebuild at the expense of us. Let's show them. Let's see what happens. Because look, the players aren't tanking. It's you just call bad plays if you want to tank. You're not going to get the players to tank for you. Every player is like, well, I'm not going to lose my job so Tua Tagovailoa can come in here. And plus, the other thing too is that if you are, even though you know you may need a quarterback, there's no guarantee of anybody coming in and all of a sudden you're going to be a winner. Right? You know this league is tough. It's not like a rookie NBA guy that can come in and dominate the league. Right, so you can't get the players to buy in on that, but as an organization, you can get the coaches to buy in on that. So it's a bad, bad situation. But if I am Roger Goodell, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. If I am Roger Goodell, I do need to look at this team with a little bit more scrutiny, don't you? Just pay attention to them, just to see exactly what they're doing.
You need to keep your eye on them.
Yeah, just keep your eye on them. Don't make any accusations, but watch them as an organization because. Again, you have to really nip this in the bud if you've got because again, you don't want some lawyer down in South Florida going, oh no, I'm going to put a class action lawsuit together as the Dolphins failed to give us a competitive project and they did it on purpose. Let's get all the season ticket holders on this big sort of lawsuit. Like if you're the league, you got to sort of try to get that under control because if you see more and more of these players, like listen, if I'm a season ticket holder, right, for the Dolphins. And I notice that 50 players are talking to their agents about wanting to leave the organization after one game. It's not because they lost. It's because of how they lost. That's the way I would take it. Not, oh, well, you know what? They got blown out by a good team. They're not a great team, but so what? If 50 players want off the team.
50.
That's 50. It's not because they lost an opening day game. A lot of teams lose opening day games and don't call their agent.
Yep.
It's because they saw something and are sensing something they don't like.
You know what? I can say this. Half the league lost their game this week.
Yes!
Well, actually, a little less than half got Cardinals Lions.
That's right. But, some were in blowouts, right?
Yeah.
Steelers got blown out. The Browns got blown out.
Don't hear Schuster saying, I want out. Yeah. I'm going to retire.
Like, oh, Tomlin's rigging games so we lose all 16.
Yep.
But tank 50 players? 50 players calling their agents asking for trades? Yeah, something's brewing in Miami that doesn't smell too good. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio.
time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, the dumb on a Tuesday. And let's start with the good today.
You know what? The good, this good is probably the best of the year.
Right.
I know for a fact you've heard this story, having this happen in your backyard, but an elementary school student who was bullied for wearing a homemade Tennessee shirt for his school's college day. Right? You heard about
this? Yep, I've heard this story, yep.
So Tennessee turned that design into an official T-shirt, turned his design, made it an official T-shirt that's being sold in their stores right now. Not only has that shirt been so popular, so many people flogged to that website to buy it. It crashed the server.
This is an unbelievably great story. This is a student in Florida, and he is such a big Tennessee fan, and he made this shirt. He basically drew on a piece of paper and pinned it to an orange shirt because he didn't own any Tennessee gear. And the teacher was really proud of him, and he was really proud of himself. But then some girls at the school lunch table laughed at him for this shirt, and he started crying, and he was very upset. The teacher reached out, took it viral, asking if anybody knew anybody at Tennessee that could help. Tennessee, as a school, made a huge package.
Oh, my God.
That they sent to the kid and the school and the class. They got all sorts of stuff. And then you're right. They took this homemade design, turned it into a shirt, and now everybody wants
everybody.
This shirt. Everybody
I,
wants
I just
this
love
shirt.
The fact when you read the words crash the server, it's like, yes, that's how it's supposed to be.
I am waiting for any day now for Peyton Manning to either wear this shirt or say something online about it. Say something about this shirt.
Somebody.
So I hope he does. I hope Peyton Manning does because his presence in that campus is still very, very big. This is a great story. And they took the orange rock in Knoxville and they put the logo on the rock in Knoxville. So
everything about it just is all feel good.
It's great.
It's just all feeling
it's a
good.
Great story.
I think this kid, needs to be hired.
Yeah.
Have him start doing it for other schools.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, too, I don't think Tennessee is profiting off the shirt. I think all the proceeds are going I can't remember the bullying campaign.
Stop bullying or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But I think, you do this for all the schools now. Why
it's,
not, right?
It's really great. It's such an amazingly good story. It really is. And I'm glad that, look, Tennessee's struggling in the football. They're getting a lot of jokes written about them. I've done plenty of them. But this has been a great, great example.
And we'll probably continue making fun of them?
Of course. But that's right. Because
give them props when props is due.
Exactly. And they stepped up and they did the right thing. And all the fans that are buying this shirt, it's just making this kid feel great. It's good for a great cause. This is a popular T-shirt. They'll wear it. Everybody's going to be wearing this all over campus. It's great. It's a great story.
Yeah, and that
absolutely
care package.
Story.
I mean,
yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Was ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I wish I could be. I wish there was a camera in the house when that kid opened that box up.
Oh, I know. I know. I remember when I was in grade school, we did maybe you did the same thing where you find like a company and you find the address on the product and you write to the company, say how much you like it. We did these like business letters in school and like sometimes they'd send you like boxes of stuff. And I remember like all the time kids would get, we'd get stuff delivered to the school from these, products and stuff. It was a great little lesson. We got free stuff just by telling them how much we loved Oreos or Pringles or whatever item that we chose. But now you don't have to do that. You don't have to write letters. You can just it can go viral and somebody could see it and act upon it within a few hours of seeing it online. And that's what this teacher did. She took the story viral and very, very quickly Tennessee responded. So good for the school. That's a great story.
Yep.
All right. So now for the bad.
Oh, man. YouTube star Ryan Kaji under investigation by the Federal Trade Commission's overpaid sponsorship.
Okay, who's Ryan Kaji? Is he somebody? What does he do?
You probably know him better as the 8-year-old kid who's a 22 millionaire for Ryan's World.
No, don't know this. What does he do?
Well, you've heard of Ryan's World, right? He's actually the number one paid YouTube star right now.
Nope.
He's 8 years old. I want to say he's 8 years old. Maybe he's 9, but he's under investigation by the Federal Trade Commission because of only opening toys or only selecting those toys that are paying him now.
Please forgive me for not knowing who he is.
What, you know I'm, who Ryan's no, world I is. Don't. Yes, you
I
do.
I do not know YouTube stars. It is one of my weaknesses, I swear. I'm not proud of it. I am not coming at you like, oh, I have no idea who these people are, man. I have no time for that. I seriously, my kids will bring up names. I go, oh, my God, I don't know who it is. I'm embarrassed.
You know anything about this. You've probably seen him in a commercial here or there.
Well, what is it? Tell me, give me something to reference it. Instead of telling me how horrible I am for not knowing it, tell me why.
Ryan's World.
But what is it? What does he do?
He basically makes $22 million opening toys in a YouTube video.
I took me a while to get to that, but there we go, folks. This kid opens
Ryan's
up toys.
World. Come on.
I don't know this. I do not know this.
Yeah, he
by the
much...
way, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Why would I know this? I'm a guy in my mid-40s. Why would I
know
peruse... And
those
I have two
are the
teenagers.
You roll in?
I was like, why would I know an 8-year-old opening toys when I have no interest in 8-year-olds or toys?
Well, so I think you still have a passing interest in toys, let's be honest.
Not today's toys. If he was opening up 1977 Star Wars figurines, I would like that. Or an X-Wing fighter that, you know, where the wings came off, I would like that. But yeah. I have no interest in today's toys.
No.
I got two kids who don't buy toys. Like, my kids want gift cards every day. Like, there's a celebration. What do you want for your birthday? Gift card.
You know, we've got
that
habit. We still give our kids gifts every once in a while.
Yeah, you have a 2-year-old.
I do. 3-year-old.
So
he watches Ryan's World all the time. I was researching the story. True story. I'm reading the story yesterday. My son looks, my 3-year-old looks over to his son and goes, hey, he's like, I know him. He's my friend. And I'm like, oh man.
Oh man. So he's made $22 million doing this?
Yeah, he has 21 million subscribers on YouTube and the child is worth about $22 million.
That's awesome.
He's YouTube's highest earner according to Forbes magazine.
So why is he, so he's being paid to do this?
Yeah, it's not really clear how the channel drove some of this business, but he's doing work with Chuck E. Cheese, Walmart, Colgate, Nickelodeon.
I think we need to amend the way we're saying this. His parents are in trouble.
Well, his parents are in trouble, but it's his. Yeah, he's.
But he's 8.
He's 8. He won't get arrested.
Right. He's not making these decisions like, oh, excuse me, what contract is. Oh, Chuck E. Cheese? That's got to be on my desk by 4. And I want to hear from the Hasbro people by 6.
Yeah. The problem is that, you know, like, say, like a company like Walmart, they're wanting to make a whole separate toy division called Ryan's Toys.
Oh, okay.
Toys called Ryan's World. So they're using his likeness, and he's going to be profiting off his likeness. But where the Federal Trade Commission is coming in is because it might be influencing his YouTube site. Where the original birth of the idea is like, I'm just going to open random toys. I'm going to talk about these random toys. Doesn't matter which company. But now, you know, you can see where the gray area is coming into where, oh, no, we want you to push this one instead.
Gotcha.
Because he's an influencer. At 7, 8 years old.
Okay, so how is this different than when the supermodels were like, Fyre Festival is going to be one of the greatest things in the history of mankind. Go to it.
I have no idea.
Why is he in trouble Bella Hadid is not?
Because Bella Hadid is hot and you know who she is.
Well, yes, but...
You didn't know who Ryan Kaji is. You know who Bella Hadid is.
No clue. But at the same time, seriously, though, all those supermodels were like, Fyre Festival is going to be great. And it wasn't even a thing. It was a fraud. And those people aren't under investigation. This kid might get paid to be promoting some toy. And they're like, nah.
I mean, basically, he's a toy
lobbyist. He's
breaking
along. Well,
he's a toy lobbyist, which I think is legal because most of our government is ran by lobbyists, right?
It's amazing. What would you do if, like, all of a sudden you put your kid on YouTube opening up a toy and you realize one day you've built an empire?
I'm trying.
My God.
I'm trying to get my kids to give me an early retirement plan.
My God. All right. No. Smile. Open the box. Smile. We're not going to be able to do this at all if you don't smile. And you got to look at the camera. Look at the camera. My God, I mean, this is not going to work. This is not going to work.
The problem is, you know what? After the show, why don't you do yourself a favor? Sit down, enjoy an episode of Ryan's World. The kid is personable, but he's annoying. It's an annoying, personable kid.
Okay.
If that makes a lot of sense.
All right.
And any of you people out there who have young kids know exactly what I'm talking about. That the kid is annoying, but kids love him because he opens the toys and he plays with them, and that's all you needed.
That sounds like riveting content. I can't wait to peruse.
$22 million worth, Tony.
Well, I'm not a child. What can I tell you?
Oh, no, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying...
Look, the Wiggles are billionaires. I don't watch 1 second of their programming. I understand that there are things that I'm not supposed to enjoy.
I'll be honest with you, man. That one song they have is pretty good.
Fruit Salad? Yeah, it's pretty decent.
I don't remember.
All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I got to give it up to a Giants fan. He was arrested for threatening to shoot up Gillette Stadium.
Did he really?
Because the Patriots signed Antonio Brown.
He lost his mind that much?
Yeah, well, he took to Facebook. He was just flexing his Facebook muscles. He immediately took the post down, but not before someone could screen grab it and share it with the world.
Well, of course, you got to be careful with that. It's like permanent. It's like forever.
Yeah, I feel like this guy is in need of an SB Nation AM PSA.
Yeah, he really does.
I mean, in this day and age, with everything that's been going on, the last thing you ever want to say is, hey, I'm going to go shoot up a very crowded area.
No, you don't do that. And by the way, really, Antonio Brown signing with the Patriots, if you're a Giants fan, shouldn't really have any effect on your lousy football team at all.
Yeah, because if you make the playoffs, you're going to beat the Patriots.
And by the way, here's another thing for you too, Giants fan. You should want the Patriots to keep on winning and winning and winning. Like, you know, you look around and there's you and the Eagles, but the Eagles only have one. You have two. You've derailed that train. But you got your own problems to worry about whether or not Antonio Brown goes to play for the Patriots. So, I mean, but seriously, that's really bad. Careful.
In this day and age, how many stories have we said, have we talked about where, it's like, don't do dumb stuff on the internet. The internet is forever. Somebody somewhere is going to read that and post it.
I tell my kids that all the time. I was like, guys, it's forever. Don't mess with it.
Yeah, this guy, serious. I mean, obviously he's a sports fan. He's probably heard it all. I mean, how many times have we talked about a college athlete coming in and going, oh, well, you know what? He said something racist when he was 13.
Yeah.
And that comes back to haunt him when he's 27.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Like, so, don't go around. You can't say, hey, I'm going to go shoot up a stadium because they signed a player and I'm very unhappy. We're all unhappy. I said it earlier in the program. Why even bother? Why does the AFC even bother playing games this year?
Yeah.
Because I really think it's a done deal.
I really hate this idea that the AFC might be less competitive with the good teams that's in it. It could be less competitive because the Patriots might be that much of a juggernaut. It does make me worried.
Yeah, when you see
it really does.
When you see the way they played against the Steelers, a good AFC team, and then in the background, like they're adding the best wide receiver in the game, as long as he can keep his head on straight.
Exactly. Boy, that is really dumb. My God, is that dumb. Crazy. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb on a Tuesday. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. I was just looking through the college football schedule. When does the Tuesday night game start kicking in? Remember we would get these games like in the Mac or something like that on a Tuesday
just
night.
Yeah, random Tuesday.
Yeah, it'd be like they would have the weekend off, and then they would play Tuesday. Then they'd have the weekend off afterward, I guess. But we're starting to get back to Thursday night, Friday games. You know, that's kind of rolling along. But remember, there was like college football on every day, like almost every day during the week. Or there would be at least football on every day because you'd get a Monday night football game and then like some Mac game on Tuesday. Maybe you get Wednesday off. But some, I don't know, there might be a Wednesday game. And then you get some Friday night college football, which drove high school crazy. And then you get into the weekend. So those Tuesday night games were great. Like literally nothing on. I don't know. I don't watch regular TV anymore. And if I do, I just tape it for later. Really, the only time I really watch live television is when I watch sports.
Same here.
Right? I mean, most of the shows I like, I tape and I watch it. Or I just wait for it to come on demand. And then I just watch on demand. And sometimes I'll go a couple of weeks without seeing a show. I got to really, really like a show to catch it at the time that it's on. But most of my shows, I'm like,
not only that, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I'm in absolute love because I do the same thing. I will always watch a show maybe a day later through my cable, which, by the way, I probably should just cut the cord because I'm not watching them that day. I always watch it the next day.
Yeah, right.
But my cable company, they updated our box where it's called like Smart Fast Forward.
Oh, no way.
So you just fast forward, like you can crank it up like three, you know, like where you have like the three arrows or four arrows and it's just speeding through the commercials and you can put the remote down. It'll stop right when the show your program begins.
I'm sure the advertisers love that concept.
Oh my God. I'm deeply in love with it.
But did you watch, were you watching last night when every now and then they would have a commercial on that said, hey, call this number. You could be losing ESPN on your cable.
No.
Did you get any of that?
No.
Oh, because I got that. And I didn't know if it was a cable company thing or was ESPN trying to remind people, be really, you know, no matter what carrier you have, we're always in negotiations.
No, I think that's just a cable company thing.
I had it down at the bottom of my screen. Like it would showed up at the bottom of my screen in an ESPN bar, like where they put the scores and stuff.
Yeah.
It was this like number that showed up.
I
asked my wife, I said, what's that? And she goes, I don't know. I go, okay, great. Thanks. I was like, do we get the right cable provider here? Because I'm not losing this channel. But yeah, no, it was a little off-putting, to say the least, nevertheless. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next, SB Nation Ram.